Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there as well. Happy Father's Day. And so today, what I want to do, I want to continue on in our series called Every Moment, Every Breath, Every Place. And if you're brand new, this series is really about worship. That's what we were taking a look at. And last week, I gave you really what I would call like the theology of worship. We did three Greek word studies in one sermon last week. So that was pretty good. Today, I only have one. Sorry to disappoint all of you. I know, only one Greek word study here today. Aw, yes. But this series, I really do think matters for all of us. Because as I shared last week, when it comes to actually worship, I really do believe this, that we all are worshiping someone or something. The problem is that if we worship someone other than God, we always get formed in unhealthy, unholy, and in really malformed or disformed ways. And so it isn't healthy for us. So today I want to take a look, as I promised last week, to be really, really practical. And I want to take a look at today, how can we develop our hearts so that they are tuned towards worship with God? How can we develop our hearts for worship? Because here's what we believe here at Bethany. We believe that Jesus Christ is worth worshiping. Amen? Right? Jesus Christ is worth worshiping. God is worth worshiping. We're called to do that. So I want to talk about then how do we make sure our hearts are in the right place to do that? Because this is also very true. How many of you have ever felt that our world is quite busy? Anyone else feel that? Right? So how do we make sure that the busyness of life doesn't drown out the worship that we are called to have towards God in everyday moments? When we're talking about worship, we're not just talking about singing and praising, although that matters. We're talking really about how we live our lives. And so today what I want to do is I want to give you three things that I think will be practical and helpful in making sure that your heart gets tuned towards God and develops a heart of worship towards God. And so to begin, though, I want to remind you of our definition from last week from ChatGPT that did an excellent job. And this is ChatGPT's definition of worship and ours for this series. We read this, that worship is the full life response of reverence, adoration, and obedience to God, grounded in who he is and what he has done, expressed both individually and collectively through praise, prayer, service, and holy living. Let me read that again. Worship is the full life response. That's about our everyday lives. It's about everything. It's not just about singing or praising. And it's about a response of reverence, adoration, and obedience to God. Our actions really do matter and show who we really follow. And it continues, grounded in who God is and what he has done, expressed both individually and collectively through praise, prayer, service, and holy living. This is really what we are called to do. In Psalm 145, we read this. It says, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. That's the expectation. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. But as I said, I think in a busy, distracting, and really full world, that sometimes it can be easy to miss this idea of worship within our everyday lives. So today, I want to give you three ideas for how to develop your heart to make sure that you will grow in worship and connection with God. And those three ideas are surrender, wonder, and serving. That's what I want to invite you really to start to practice in your everyday life. Surrender, wonder, and serving. I want to start talking through with surrender. I want to begin with a verse that I really love. It's a verse that if I pray over you, I probably would pray this verse over you. It's in James 4, and it talks about the importance of surrender. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to James 4 to begin with. We read this in verse 6. It says this, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen to what it says in verse 8. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. And we want to say amen to that. And what this verse is showing us is that God actually responds to our activity. God actually responds to what we do. That when we seek to, another way to translate that come close, we could translate it as drawing near. That if we seek to draw near to Christ, he will draw near to us. And I want to take a look at this verse because we get both some promises and also a heart posture that we're called to have. And the first thing that we have here is really a heart posture where we read this, where God, James says this, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says, so humble yourselves before God. And that word humble in Greek is the word hypotasso. And what it means is to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice, or to obey, to be subject. That what hypotasso is, it's actually a Greek military term, and it's about arranging yourself under the authority of a leader, or in non-military usage, here's what it means, and this is our kind of word for today. It's a voluntary attitude of giving in and cooperating. That when Paul says, or when James says, be humble, humble yourselves before God, it's a voluntary attitude of giving in and cooperating, or you might translate it differently, it's a voluntary attitude of surrendering, of actually giving up some of who you are to control in Christ. And I just want to say this. If you have never made that singular decision to actually follow Christ, that today is the day to make that decision, amen? Right? That we believe that following Christ matters. And if you've never made that initial decision to surrender, you should today. It's important for us. And so really, what James is teaching us here is that first we need to humble ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves to God. And that through that humbling, through that surrendering, through that submitting or submission, that we will then draw close to God and he will draw close to us. I want to give you a short example of what this can kind of look like in real life terms. Because as I said, today I promise to be really, really practical. And so I want to share with you a story of what happened just a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I happened to be at a conference for Christians and for pastors. And I got to say, going into this conference, I was not in the best place just mentally at all. I just wasn't in the best place. Anybody ever come to church and not be in the best place in the world? Right? Thank you for laughing, because otherwise I would feel very alone. Because I've been in that space. You know, where you come in and maybe your hands are in your pockets or your arms are crossed. And I know as soon as I say that, if your arms are crossed, you just uncross them. I know that just happened. I saw it. It's okay. I can see you. Right? So I'm not in the best place. The way I would use to describe this place I was in, I would say, and this is the word for it, I would say I was surly. That's how I was feeling. I was just feeling a bit surly and salty and just a little bit grumpy and just in a bad space. And so I'm sitting, to give you an idea of where I'm at, I'm sitting in the very back right-hand corner of the thing, like about as far from the stage as I could possibly be. And I'm sitting there and they're worshiping and I don't know the songs and I don't like the songs and I don't want to enter in really at all. I don't know if anyone other than your pastor has ever been in a space like this, but we can be honest in church, amen? We can be honest in church. So this is where I was at. And I felt this little felt this little nudge in my heart to actually enter into worship. I really believe that it was God. When God speaks to me, most often the way God speaks is not through shouting, but through a still small voice that kind of invites me into the next thing. I think that's important for us to recognize that often we want the Spirit to shout to us when really what the Spirit wants is our attention and nudges us in the right direction. And so I had that nudge and I decided to kind of enter in a little bit. And as I entered in a little bit, I started to sing just a few of the kind of the lyrics. I felt God become a little bit closer. As I started to enter into it a little bit more, I felt God become even closer. And as I actually finally fully gave up kind of control and surrendered and actually just moved into what God had for me in that moment, I felt really close to God. That's what James is talking about. He's talking about the fact that when we surrender, when we humble ourselves, and when we draw close to God, God responds by drawing close to us. Isn't it good news to know the fact that God responds to your actions, right? That he will draw close to you. The question is whether you want to draw close to him at all. And so I think if we're going to develop a heart of worship, one of the things we need to develop in our lives is a heart of surrender and submission towards Christ, to let him be in control and to draw close to him as he seeks to draw close to us. So that's the first thing, surrender. The second thing I want to invite you to do, if you want to really have a heart of worship that continues on in your everyday life, is to develop and to cultivate what I would say is wonder in your life. This is what I think we need to do, especially in the West. We need to cultivate an attitude of wonder. I want to read to you Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, we hear about how the natural world should evoke awe and wonder in our lives. We read this. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Listen to this verse. And when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, humans that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your majestic name fills the earth. But what this author of Psalms is teaching us is that the natural world can reveal God's beauty and grace and grandeur and amazement and wonder. Anybody here ever seen like a meteor shower before? If that doesn't like evoke wonder within you, I'm not sure what else might, right? Or maybe you've seen maybe the Northern Lights, or if you've just even ever gone to Niagara Falls for the very first time and see how beautiful and big that is. What the author is teaching us is this should develop wonder within us. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers and the moon, the stars you set into place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or Romans puts it this way. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature. But what the text is teaching us is that the heavens, the earth, the sky, babbling brooks and like swooping birds and all of that, it all reveals God's amazing, invisible qualities. And that I think if we are going to grow in developing a heart of worship, what we need to do is actually have a heart of wonder, of connecting with nature, awe, and wonder. That will develop within your heart an attunement towards the things of God. That wonder is a gateway to true worship. I'll give you an example of when I saw wonder recently. A couple of weeks ago, we were out actually in Calgary. I had a conference I had to go out there for, and so what Chris and I decided to do was that we would bring all the kids with us to go up and to spend a few days in Banff. So we did that. And here are some of the pictures from Banff. This is Lake Louise, right, with the mountains that we were sitting on, that we were standing on the ice there. This is Hudson and I. We decided to, he says his hair is bad. That's what he says there. That's what he says there. That's what he's concerned with that one picture. We hiked up Sulphur Mountain together. In all fairness, Hudson wanted to run up it. That was not an option for me. So it was 5K straight up. That's what it felt like. But you can see the mountains behind it and how just like beautiful and awe-inspiring it is. Here's a picture of Krista and Eden, right? It's gorgeous if you've never been out west and seeing the mountains. Lastly, here's a picture overlooking Banff. I got to tell you, if you've ever done this trip, you'll know this experience. We got into Calgary, and we drove from Calgary up to Banff. And as you were driving, and you get closer and closer to the mountains, the kids were like oohing and aahing more and more and more, taking pictures. And every kind of view you got, it was like it was better than the last one. So much so that at one point, Eden yelled out, she kind of said, "Isn't this amazing that God made all of this?" Right? Isn't it amazing that God made all of this? That's wonder. That's what we need to be developing in our hearts. That's what the psalmist is saying when he says, "When I look in the night sky and see all the work of your fingers," or we could change it and say, "When I look in the mountains," or "When I see the ocean," or "When I see majestic trees," or whatever it is, that when it comes to developing a heart of worship towards God, wonder needs to be a part of it. Wonder needs to be a part of our lives and our hearts if we're going to have a true kind of heart towards God. So there's surrender and there is wonder. The last thing I want to invite you to consider about how to develop a heart of worship towards God is in and through service or serving or sacrificing. I want to read to you some of Hebrews 13. I want to start in verse 15. And we can see here the theme of worship, a part of verse 15. We read this: "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise." We're supposed to be doing this every day, every moment, right? "And proclaiming our allegiance to his name." This passage is set in the context of worship. So we are called to worship God, proclaiming his name with everyday allegiance. But then notice in verse 16 how it switches from this idea of praising God to actually an idea of doing good for God, of serving God. We read this in the very next verses, verse 16. "And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that truly please God." These are the sacrifices that truly please God. "And don't forget to do what is good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that truly please God." That here we are told really to bring a sacrifice of praise. And apparently for the author of Hebrews, the sacrifices that God really wants isn't just our songs or the words we sing. It's actually our actions. Right? It says, "Let us therefore, through Christ, offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need." This is just true. You will never truly develop a heart of worship without doing good, helping the poor, and helping those in need. If your heart is turned off towards those who are in need around you, your heart will also be turned off towards God. There is no way to grow within worship towards God without also collectively growing in your love of your neighbor and your love of those in need and your love of those who are poor and mistreated and on the outskirts. This is what we are called to do, to love those in action and in deed. I'll give you an example of this just that happened last week. Last week, I was coming out of the Fairview Mall. I'm not sure if you've ever come out of the Fairview Mall there. And at the stop sign, there was a gentleman standing there who was clearly unhoused and looking for some support and some sustenance and some needs that he had. And what happened as I was waiting in line was a security guard came and kind of shooed the man off. And so I did something that was just quite small, nothing drastic, nothing major. I just pulled into the next parking lot, and actually I had a few dollars, and I went and I found him and just said, "Hey, I was going to give this to you when you're standing there, but obviously you got kind of shooed off." And what I ended up happening was having this short but most beautiful and lovely conversation with this man. It was actually a moment of connecting like with human to human and humanity. And in and through me just giving just a few dollars, it's nothing major, it's nothing massive, right? just in that, I was able to actually connect with him, and I felt closer to God. I felt closer to humanity in general, that when we actually serve and love those who are in need, it will draw us closer to God, and it will draw us closer to one another. These are the things I want to invite you to put into practice practically. That if you want to actually have a heart of worship towards God, what there needs to be is a heart of surrender, of wonder, and certainly of serving those who are around us. Surrender, wonder, and serving those who are around us. So today, what is my main point? My main point is really simple, because today, as I said, I want it to be really practical here today. Right? Last week, we were really theological. Today, I promised it would be tangible. And so what's my main point? It's really simple. It's that we develop a heart of worship through practicing surrender, wonder, and serving. That's how we develop a heart of worship, through practicing surrender, wonder, and serving. And then so today, as I said, I want it to be practical and tangible. So what I want to do now is I want to share with you 6 different ideas for how you can practice surrender, wonder, and serving in your life. I want to give you 6 ideas, 2 for each of them, 2 for surrender, 2 for wonder, and 2 for serving. As always, we not only have a main point, we always also have a challenge, right? So we also have a challenge. Today, my challenge is not going to be practice all 6. That might be a lot. I mean, you can get extra bonus marks if you do. I'm not sure who's grading you. It's not me, so it's fine, right? No, but today what I want to invite you to do is really think through of these 6 ideas. Is there one that really resonates with you that God's asking you to put into practice? One thing to put into practice. So I want to give you, as I said, a few ideas for how we can actually practically put this idea of surrender, of wonder, and serving into practice. And the first idea for surrender I have is to get in the habit of learning to open your hands. I shared this last week, that we are actually called to engage in whole-bodied worship. And so what I want to invite you to do is to get in the habit of when you are praying or when you are worshiping to actually hold out your hands or to raise your hands, that this will develop surrender. This is a posture, we put it this way, this is a posture of humility when we do this, and that there's something very powerful when we actually align our bodies with what we are asking for God to do spiritually. And so I want to invite you and challenge you to get in the habit of holding out your hands or to raising your hands in worship. It actually says in Timothy, Paul says that we are called when we pray to raise our hands. It's actually a command within the Bible. And I think it's a good idea for us to start to get into practice with. Because even as I shared last week, if we can celebrate, you know, when the Oilers win the next game that they are going to win, that's what I think or hope for, that when the Oilers win the next game, if we can stand up and celebrate and high-five people, if we can celebrate at, like, as I said last week, at 21 Pilots concert and have our hands up in the air and all that sort of stuff, surely then we can also do it for the God who made everything that we see and experience. So what I want to invite you to do is to get in that habit of trying to just hold out your hands or to raise your hands. It'll actually start to connect you deeper with God and start to connect that idea of surrender in your heart. Second thing I want to invite you to do when it comes to surrender is to practice what is called the Jesus Prayer. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of what's called the Jesus Prayer. It's a really simple prayer, and I want to invite you to perhaps pray this every single day. And the Jesus Prayer just goes like this. It's really simple. It is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when I pray this every single day. Sometimes it's just for a few moments. Sometimes it's for 10 or 15 minutes. What I do is I time this to my breathing. And so I would breathe in and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then I'd breathe out and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. As if I am breathing in God and breathing out all this junk that I have in my heart that I don't need. And that's really actually very biblical and scriptural. Do you know in Psalms it says that our very breath comes from God? It's a gift from him. And we're breathing the very breath of God. That's what it says in Psalms. And so what I want to invite you to do is to get in the habit of praying this simple prayer of, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It reminds me of the fact that I need Jesus in my life and that I need more mercy. And it reminds me of the fact that Christ is King and that I'm following him. And this is a simple prayer to actually get in the habit of practicing surrender. And I trust you, if you pray this daily, if you pray this continually, it'll quiet things in your heart so you can better hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Because the Spirit is speaking, I believe, to each and every one of us. But so often our inner lives are so full of noise that we don't hear him. And so when it comes to surrender, what I want to invite you to do is to open your hands and to pray the Jesus Prayer. Next, when it comes to wonder, what do I think about wonder? Well, here's what I want to invite you to do for wonder. You might laugh at this, but I think it's a really good idea. Or at least I think it's a good idea. Hopefully some of you will think it's a good idea. Okay, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to go camping. That's what I want to invite you to do. Anyone want to say amen to that? Is there anybody who loves camping outside? Yeah, okay. There are some of you who are hesitant. I understand that. That's okay. My dad used to say that he never wanted to go on vacation to any place that was worse than his house. That's what he said all the time. So we didn't really grow up doing much camping growing up. That was just not a part of things. Yeah. Unless it was like at a hotel, which really isn't camping. So yeah, so I want to invite you to try camping. to actually try just getting outdoors, to try being outside. Here's the thing. We don't recognize how weird this is, but it would strike someone as very weird if we brought someone from Jesus' day and age into our world. What they would probably notice, first of all, is how often and how much time we spend indoors. This is really weird historically. If we start to think about it, Jesus's mainly of his day and the people of his day, they would have cooked, they would have cleaned, they would have worked outside. Their whole lives would have been in tune and in rhythm with the seasons and the sun going up and going down. We live very weird lives where the majority of it's actually inside. So I want to invite you to get outside, to go camping. This will develop wonder when you look up in the stars and there's like no light pollution where you are. Like, my gosh, yes, you will echo what the psalmist says, where he says, and you have created all those stars and put them, they're your handiwork that are in the skies. I want to invite you to go camping. You can come camping with us as a church. We go to Camp Mishawa, and that's happening in a few weeks. The third week of July, we as a church go up, and it's amazing, and it's awesome. You can also try like other campgrounds. Like, we've done Killarney, we've done Algonquin, we've done Kilbear, which Hudson loves.
That was good.
That was good. That one was good. Yeah. Yeah. Kilbear is really good. You can ask him for apparently recommendations now. He's willing to give you all of his thoughts. So try camping. Just give it a shot. And of course, if you can't go camping, this still matters for you. You could still go on a hike. You could go out to a park. You could even just do this. Krista does this, especially in the winter. She often drives to the beach to sit by the lake and to just see the water going in and out. These are things that will actually connect you with a sense of wonder. So I want to invite you to try camping as an idea for wonder. Secondly, the second idea is just this. I want to invite you not only to go camping to try for wonder, I want to invite you to actually maybe get in the habit of praying for wonder, of asking God for wonder, of asking God for amazement, awe, transcendence, all of that. I want to invite you to pray a daily prayer of saying, God, give me a heart of wonder. And this idea for me comes from one of my favorite rabbis. My favorite rabbi, in case you're wondering, is Jesus Christ. Okay, that's my favorite rabbi. My second favorite rabbi is Abraham Joshua Heschel. And I want to read to you what he writes about wonder. He says this: as civilization advances, the sense of wonder declines. That's true, and it's a major problem in our world. As civilization advances, the sense of wonder declines. Such decline is an alarming symptom of our state of mind. He says this: mankind will not perish for want of information. Isn't that true? We have more information than any other generation. We just don't know what to do with it. He says, mankind will not perish for want of information, but only for want of appreciation. We don't have hearts of appreciation the same way, and we need to develop them. He says, the beginning of our happiness lies in understanding that life without wonder is not worth living. What we lack is not a will to believe, but a will to wonder. And he ends with this: never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. He says, I asked for wonder, and he gave it to me. I want to invite you to pray for wonder. I want to invite you to see if there's moments of wonder, to engage and to say yes. I want to invite you to live as fully as you can in this world with all the beauty and grace that God has given it. And it can happen in little and small ways. This just happened last night, actually. Last night, Krista and I were sitting outside. You didn't know what I was going to say. You're looking at me funny. Yeah. Last night, we were sitting outside together, and we heard the faint sound of an ice cream truck. Is what we heard. I have never heard an ice cream truck in our neighborhood ever before, but we heard this, like, you know that kind of jingle? I can't even make the jingle, like, give it to you, but it was happening. And so Kristen and I immediately, we ran inside, we got the kids, and we said, there is an ice cream truck somewhere. Do you want to try to go find it? I think the ice cream truck was moving away from us because my watch told me that we did 3 kilometers searching for this ice cream truck. But we did eventually find it. Hudson found it for us, and we were able to get ice cream, and we got that. And as we were walking home, Eden said this, and Eden is our youngest. She's 10, and this is the way she kind of speaks. She said, this was the best memory ball ever. Right? Memory ball from Inside Out, if you've never seen that movie. That's where that comes from. Right? There was a sense of wonder that day, a sense of wonder that night, just a sense of, I don't know, appreciation for the greater world that we live in. I think we need to get in the habit of having more wonder within our lives. I think if we're going to really follow Jesus, this is stuff that we need. We need to be asking for wonder. So what do I think so far today? You can try for wonder, giving camping a shot, or praying for wonder. And then I want to talk through the last one about serving in action. The verse we read in Hebrews says this: and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And so for this, what I want to invite you to do is to think through one question. It's who can you help for and care for this week? Who can you help and care for this week? That if we are going to truly serve God and to develop this sense of worship within our lives, Hebrews reminds us to don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. So I invite you to think through, who can you help and care for this week? Maybe there's somebody that Jesus is inviting you to reach out to that's just going through kind of a rough time. Maybe Jesus might be inviting you to pray for someone, you know, someone who you can really lift up in prayer and to encourage. Maybe Jesus is inviting you to help someone practically. Maybe there's someone in need in your school, on your street, in your family. I want to invite you just to think through, who needs a helping hand that you can be that towards them? How can we make sure that our actions continue to show for those who are in need? Maybe what you need to do is to text a friend or to make a casserole. Dropping off food for people in struggles is a really big deal. We don't do it as much in this culture, and I think it's important. I want to invite you to do something practical to be able to help those who are in need. One of the other things that we can do that all of us have the ability to do within our lives that is really missing in our culture and missing in our world, if you want to help someone, one of the biggest things you can do is actually just to listen to them. Listen with like full presence and not trying to fix things, not trying to make everything better, but to just truly listen and give them the gift of your presence. I want to invite you to think through, is there someone in your life that you can help that you might be able to care for through some of those things of being a friend, of making a casserole, or just listening and being aware of someone's hurt and holding it with them? Last idea I have for you when it comes to serving is an obvious one, that if you want to grow in a heart of worship, I really do believe serving needs to become a habit. We are so consumeristic. That's how we get shaped. Serving breaks that. That's why it's important for us to be continually serving, not just like once, but actually to have a habit of service. So I want to invite you to serve here at Bethany if you aren't already serving. There are many different ways that you can serve here at Bethany. You can serve in our tech team. You can serve in like worship or in youth. One of the places where we need help even over the summer is really with our Kids Zone ministry. So I'd invite you, if you're interested in that, you can be a part of this and you can actually help through serving. Serving is a way that shapes our heart towards God. And I think it's an important thing for us to get in the habit of doing. So today, what is my main point? My main point really is just that we are called to develop a heart of surrender and of wonder and of serving. And what I want to invite you to do practically, my challenge is to do one of these six ideas this week, whether that's opening and raising your hands in prayer or in worship, or praying the Jesus prayer, or going camping, which I think is great, or praying for wonder, or helping someone in need, or starting serving. I want to challenge you to do one of those six things. And as you do that, what you will do is you will start to develop surrender, worship, and serving in your life. And that will make an impact not only in your life, but in the lives around you. So with that, would you join with me in prayer here today? Dear God, I pray this week, might you continue to help us to develop that heart of worship within each and every one of us. Would you help us to surrender to you, to place you in control, to not take back control, but to follow you obediently? I pray you would help us to continue to be humble and to submit to you. I pray would you also give us wonder, each and every one of us, wonder at the natural world around us, wonder at the amazing things that happen in our lives, just wonder at how good and majestic you truly are. Would you evoke within us a sense of wonder, awe, transcendence, of majesty, and of beauty, so that we might follow you deeper and better and more truly in this world? And lastly, I ask, would you help us to serve our family, to serve our friends, to serve those on our streets and those in need? Would you help to make serving become a habit within our hearts and lives so that we might worship you fully? As you say in Hebrews, that this is the kind of sacrifice of praise that you look for, to be in willingness to take action to serve you. And I pray this all, God, in the wonderful name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. So with that, I want to invite you to stand, if you are able, for our closing benediction here today. We read this from Psalm 145. I just want to remind you of what this psalm says. I will praise you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day, and I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond discovery. And it says this in verse 18, and the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, all who call on him sincerely, the Lord is close to them. So might you continue to call upon the Lord in your life. And as always, if you have any need whatsoever, there are people in our prayer room off to my left. I'd be more than willing to meet with you and to pray with you. If you're new, talk to someone in the blue shirt and they'd be glad to help you get kind of connected here. And then if you want to partner with us financially, that's one of the ways to give and to serve and to sacrifice. You can go to our big green wall to figure out and to find out how to do that. But other than that, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend and be listening for ice cream trucks. Who knows? They might be around your neighborhood as well. And then as always, grace and peace, everyone. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.